sorry to cut it off, but we've got 6 minutes just to tell you very quickly the other piece of history from the resistance side. So this next is from a story of resistance. So this comes from the resistance lessons, which are towards the end of the inquiry, and it's about this is some events that happened. I'm deliberately not using the word. This is Sarah Bassett, who resisted in Bermuda in 1712. So Sarah Bassett was owned by a blacksmith on the island of Bermuda called Francis Dickinson. Her first major act of resistance took place in 1712. She had abused this guy, Captain John Jennings, a local landowner. Not sure what kind of, verbal abuse. So she cussed him, as the students would say. She cussed him out and threatened his property. And as a result, Sally's punishment was to be marched across her district. Her district, sort of local part of the west of the island of Bermuda. Bermuda's kind of quite strung out. It's on the west. So she is marched across her district and whipped 3 times on her naked back every 30 paces. And she took over 100 lashes. So she is publicly humiliated, stripped, whipped. And that's what happens to her in 1712. We kind of look at her statue here. I don't know what kind of impression of her that gives you. What impression do you get of her from that statue?
Defiant, she told
me. Defiant, yes. So there's a defiance there. So this isn't a woman who's cowed, who's so perhaps not the image of the lashed woman, but something different. So how has she secured this kind of dignity and defiance? Well, Sally's owner died around 1727, so 15 years later the owner dies. She then belonged to his 2 young children, whom she probably looked after. By this time, she had a granddaughter called Beck, who was owned by Thomas and Sarah Foster on a neighbouring estate and worked in their kitchen. Sarah Foster was the daughter of Captain John Jennings. So she discovers that her granddaughter is controlled, is in the household as an enslaved person, is in the household of the daughter of the man who abused her. And we'll assume, I think by this point, the man who abused her is no longer alive, but his daughter is. And by 1730, Sally was quite elderly for an enslaved woman. Why might she still be keen to pursue resistance? And so we get the students to consider, revenge and still the bitterness and the anger of that, of the violence that had been inflicted on her. But we're going to look at this image of Sarah Bassett's statue. This shows how she died in 1730. So although it's an image of defiance, this is actually an image about her own death. How does Sarah Bassett die?
Hanged?
She's burnt at the stake. So Sarah, or Sally, as she was nicknamed, Sally is burnt alive. So why? 1730, Sarah Bassett was burned alive for the crime of attempted poisoning. She had given Beck, her granddaughter, a concoction of poisons to kill the Fosters and another enslaved woman called Nancy in their house. So the idea was that Nancy would be killed and the Fosters. Beck was told to carefully administer the poisons so that the Fosters would become sick and die slowly over a period of weeks. Nancy discovered the poison before it could kill them all. So Nancy is the one who she was going to be killed along with it. She discovers this and she tells. And so the plot is exposed, it's revealed, and Sarah was held responsible, not Beck, so the granddaughter's not held responsible, it's Granny who's responsible. And many of the people on the island actually thought she was a witch. They thought Sally Bassett was a witch. A lot of it connected, obviously, to the kind of the African medicinal practices and so forth that she was using, and possibly she was using that kind of knowledge to actually concoct the poisons. And so rather than it being a scientific thing that you would understand, it's she's a witch. And so the reason she's burnt at the stake, not just for the attempted poisoning, but for the witchcraft. She says she's innocent of that, of witchcraft. She's not innocent, she's innocent of that. But the authorities found her guilty and she's burnt at the stake. And so the question is, you know, is this a story of endeavours that we should admire? Should we admire Sarah Bassett? She now has that statue, is actually now outside the courthouse in Bermuda. So she is now given that a high status. I think Bermuda's one of the islands that has national heroes. Can't remember. Number of the Caribbean islands, post-independence, actually, like Jamaica with its national heroes, a number of the others have national heroes. And I think she's one of the national heroes in Bermuda. She certainly has a statue honouring her outside the island's courthouse. So is she somebody to be admired on your table? 2 minutes.
I think she's more disconnected with people that are more
Quick feedback. Your group, you look content with where you got to.
I just been hearing such great ideas.
So it's not just.
Well, I think the first answer to the question was where that's for the students to decide, and I think it's a good question, isn't it? It's a good inquiry question of, like, is Sally Bassett a hero? I think the point was brought out that by Lucy that it kind of brings out this kind of dialectic of violence, where the violence of the oppressor and the violence of emancipation are tied up together, and I think, rather than maybe teaching them separately, look, I think a lot of us have got used to, in terms of, right, then let's teach the violence to these guys, and then, no, wait a minute, let's talk about resistance. That maybe actually this story is quite good at bringing out that as being one and the same, or not one and the same, but certainly that you can't talk about violence one without the violence of the other. And so this is a nice story to do that with.
And the previous one as well.
Yeah, and the stuff on in poisoning, I mean, it's a kind of reoccurring fear, isn't it, that just comes up again and again, of these poisonous women who are out there to kill the kind of slave masters.
Being killed by those you've just trusted.
Yeah.
I don't think we've reached a conclusion, do we? I think we were talking about Nancy and how that complicates the story, because if it's a more straightforward narrative of her getting revenge on the daughter of the person who's wronged her, on the white slave owners, that seems more straightforward.
Yeah.
But the fact that Nancy was going to die in her plan as well makes it more complicated. They're trying to kill a fellow enslaved woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not quite sure what she has against Nancy. Maybe she's just an obstacle, in which case does make it a bit more callous than if she were someone who was actively acting against her.
I mean, it may be that something, that a relationship has broken down between Beck and Nancy.
Can I ask what might be, again, a silly question? I can't help feeling a bit sceptical about, did she actually do this? Did Sarah Bassett actually do this?
Yeah.
Is it proven that she
did?
The poisoning.
I think it's pretty clear that that did.
She did, okay. I was immediately like, really? Nancy, I made it up.
Well, I mean, we have obviously there are a number of these kinds of incidents that happen. This is one of the rare ones that we have that is documented because we have the court, we have the trial evidence. So this is what is put in the trial evidence. So that's why we have documents about it, because it was a trial.
Again, that's an interesting point in relation to the reading we were set about, you know, for looking at...
Right, we get it, you did the reading.
It really did affect me, it's making me see this through that, though, and the sort of importance of focusing on an individual to highlight more structural patterns.
Yes.
And I think the typicality of the poisoning, so you get an individual story that you can personally connect to, but that it's there's a typicality to that dynamic that's drawn out by this, I think.
And a lack of obsession with chronology. Like, I think
yeah.
I've noted that my own teaching is potentially on this, being obsessed with, I can't do that then, because then that happens before that, and I think maybe that's okay to let step back.
But I think, well, there's something in that as well, though, because, so this is after, this is nearly 20 years after the last witch trial in England.
Is it specific to
the Caribbean? Is it because the Caribbean is kind of slightly behind, because you know you've got the difficulty of kind of the distance, or is it just because she's black and because she's enslaved, that therefore that people will still consider that witchcraft is a crime that she is capable of, when it is not a crime that white women in England are not capable of?
But I think all of those things are really interesting, but for me it's quite problematic, because I think the unpicking, just as we've thought about unpicking the construction of race, the unpicking of the construction of gender in this is you can't assume that gender isn't socially constructed, and the kind of women, you know, witchcraft, poisoning, seen as sneaky female things to do. That is also part of the complexity of this, and that's really difficult to unpick when you're already picking race in a classroom full of young people.
I don't want to know what the plaque said.
The plaque down the front. Please see if you can find out. I don't know whether there's a. Well, I don't think we found it online, but there might be.
There must be a way. You can just tweet it.
Yeah.
Or go to the.
if people casually turned their head, they'd be seeing the emergence of such night. I'm just looking straight at it, so I think it's telling me that I need to stop.
Robin, can I also just add there, that statue was not uncontroversial when it was put up in the media. So anyone who thinks that, you know, it's a national story that everyone gets behind, it was deeply controversial. And actually, you can read online about the contestations within the local community about putting that statue up. So it also helps then students to think about the memorialisation process within the Caribbean itself in contemporary society. So again, creates another, I think, layer of complexity around what you can do with that particular case study.
Do people object to a pose?
Yes, because Bermuda is a very conservative society. Yeah. It's an obviously conservative society as well. No. So it was very, very controversial.
Just as we end, we talked a lot. We're talking all the time over these 2 days about scholarship, about books, and so forth. And it would be. It would be very easy to just think only about scholarship, about history. But I think what has come out from our discussion, hopefully, just in this last session, is that all the things we said about the relationships in the classroom and how important those are, and relationships indeed with colleagues, and this, when we're saying about how can you bring these kinds of stories and so forth these issues into your classroom, I think the word that really sticks with us is trust. Mm-hmm. That if your classroom is not a place where you have built trust, then this becomes hugely problematic and difficult and risky.
Yeah.
So risky both to you as a teacher and to your
student.
And so therefore I would counsel you to keep up, if it's possible, some kind of reading and scholarship about pedagogy. About this is deeply unfashionable. It's not what's being taught. It's not what's being encouraged. If we want to be, so what I'm saying is basically, if we want to be radical about the curriculum,
yeah,
we need to consider being radical about the pedagogy. This is still a classic work that influences us very strongly, and Learning Without Limits. It's a book, but it's a project at Cambridge. It's still running. And if you just Google Learning Without Limits, you'll be able to get to the website. And they outline their principles. And the principles are co-agency, trust, everybody. Mm-hmm. And they added another one, which is unpredictability, interestingly, in connection with that. So those words. We realised this the other day. We were kind of writing down the words that we thought were essential for the work that we did. And then we said, hang on, that's Learning Without Limits. Basically, that's important work for you to consider. So thank you very much.